The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
She's got the news. She talks with newsmakers. She encourages us to laugh, and she cries with us. Speaking truth to power and questioning authority daily, it's the Nicole Sandler Show.
So it is. Welcome to a Thursday, and oh my goodness, what a day it is. I'll tell you, that with every day between now and November 3rd, we're going to see more insanity. Donald Trump, I hate to use the term, is coming unraveled, because that would infer that he was ever raveled to begin with, and we know he wasn't. The man is certifiably insane, and it seems with each passing day, it's getting worse. And but the scary part about it is not that he's getting worse. It's that his followers, his believers, go along with it. It's just astounding. Well, I got to tell you, there's a plethora of breaking news today. I had one thing all queued up and ready to go, and then something else appeared. And rarely do I start a show by promoting what's going to happen on the next episode of said show. But tomorrow on this program, I'll be joined by Lisa Graves. Now, if you've been listening to this show for any amount of time, you've heard Lisa, and chances are you know who I'm talking about. Lisa Graves is, boy, she's got credentials. She was a counsel in the Senate Judiciary Committee. I should have pulled up her her credentials. Oh, hold on a second, because I have it up here. The beginning of her written testimony. She testified last week before the House Committee on Oversight and Reform Subcommittee on Government Operations about what's happening at the post office. And let's see, I think here's a little bit of her resume. She said she previously served as chief counsel for nominations for the then chairman and then ranking member of the U.S. Senate Judiciary Committee, as deputy chief of the Article III Judges Division of the Administrative Office of the U.S. Courts, as deputy assistant attorney general in the Office of Legal Policy and Policy Development at the U.S. Department of Justice under both Janet Reno and Ashcroft, and other, you know, similarly impressive roles as that. So Lisa Graves is coming on tomorrow to comment, to help us understand things happening on two separate fronts. One is obviously having to do with this criminal that we have who is acting as attorney general. And I say acting as because I believe he is in full violation of every law we have. I think he is an extrajudicial attorney general, and this is coming from obviously a lay person with no legal expertise whatsoever. So I'll defer to Lisa Graves tomorrow and let her explain what she thinks Bill Barr is doing. And I've got some clips that I can play later on that of words he said speaking at some college last night that makes me think he's even more out there than Donald Trump. Birds of a feather and all that. But so Lisa testified last week before this a committee on what's going on at the post office. And this is what this new breaking news story is about. And I'm reading it to you from my phone because I got a news alert on it from The Washington Post. But when I go to The Washington Post website, the story isn't even up there yet. That's how new it is. That's how breaking it is. So I should have a breaking glass sound effect for breaking news. Here you go. A federal judge in Washington state today granted a request from 14 states to temporarily block operational changes within the U.S. Postal Service that have been blamed for a slowdown in mail delivery, saying that the president, him, yeah, and Postmaster General Louis DeJoy are, quote, involved in a politically motivated attack on the efficiency of the Postal Service, end quote, that could disrupt the 2020 election. Ooh. Stanley A. Bastian, chief judge of the U.S. District Court for the Eastern District of Washington, said that the harm to the public has already taken place by changes put in place under DeJoy. Bastian ruled from the bench Thursday afternoon after a 2.5-hour hearing. Quote, "The states have demonstrated that the defendants are involved in a politically motivated attack on the efficiency of the Postal Service. They have also demonstrated that this attack on the Postal Service is likely to irreparably harm the state's ability to administer the 2020 general election," he said. Bastian said that the mail delivery backlogs, quote, "likely will slow down delivery of ballots, both to the voters and back to the states this fall. This creates a substantial possibility that many voters will be disenfranchised and the states may not be able to effectively, timely, accurately determine election outcomes," he said. The article goes on to say the scope and duration of the injunction were not immediately clear. In response to a question from defendant's counsel, Bastian said he would provide more detail in the written order, which the judge said he plans to issue later today or tomorrow. A lawyer for the Postal Service and the other defendants, which include Trump and DeJoy, argued in court that the Postal Service is prepared to handle the crush of the election mail and that the delays from the summer have abated.
Bullshit.
Sorry. The decision potentially casts the Postal Service into more tumult, just as states have begun to send out mail ballots for the November 3rd election. And the article goes on like this. So that happened. Yippee. So there's an injunction. DeJoy can't remove any more mail sorting machines or make any more operational changes at the post office. I don't hear anything in there that says they have to put everything back the way it was before they started making the changes, but I guess baby steps, one at a time, and we'll talk to Lisa Graves about that tomorrow. The other bit of breaking news is pretty stunning, and this one happened just within the last hour or two, and it comes by way of a former Pence aide. Her name is Olivia Troy. She worked as Homeland Security, Counterterrorism, and Coronavirus Advisor to Vice President Mike Pence for 2 years. And today, she not only quit, but she said she's voting for Joe Biden. Seriously. This is stunning. Let me play for you the video that she released through Republican Voters Against Trump. Obviously, if you're listening to the audio only at my tuning channel on Progressive Voices, on one of our other affiliates, you'll hear Olivia Troy speaking. Again, her title, as it says on the screen, Advisor to the Vice President for Homeland Security and Counterterrorism. All right, Olivia Troy, take it away.
I'm Olivia Troy. I was Homeland Security and Counterterrorism Advisor to Vice President Pence and served as Vice President Pence's lead staff member on the COVID-19 response. You know, I've been on the COVID task force from day one. I mean, the virus was very unpredictable at the beginning. There were a lot of unknowns, but towards the middle of February, we knew it wasn't a matter of if COVID would become a big pandemic here in the United States. It was a matter of when. But the president didn't want to hear that because his biggest concern was that we were in election year and how is this going to affect what he considered to be his record of success. It was shocking to see the president saying that the virus was a hoax, saying that everything's okay when we know that it's not. The truth is, he doesn't actually care about anyone else but himself. He made a statement once that was very striking. I never forgot it because it pretty much defined who he was. When we were in a task force meeting, the president said, maybe this COVID thing is a good thing. I don't like shaking hands with people. I don't have to shake hands with these disgusting people. Those disgusting people are the same people that he claims to care about. These are the people still going to his rallies today who have complete faith in who he is. If the president had taken this virus seriously, or if he had actually made an effort to tell how serious it was, he would have slowed the virus spread. He would have saved lives. It was the opportunity and honor of a lifetime to be able to serve in the White House. I put my heart and soul into this role every single day. But at some points, I would come home at night, I would look myself in the mirror, and say, are you really making a difference? Does it matter? Because no matter how hard you work and what you do, the president is going to do something that is detrimental to keeping Americans safe, which is why you signed up for this role. It was awful. It was terrifying. I have been a Republican for my entire life. I am a McCain Republican. I am a Bush Republican. And I am voting for Joe Biden because I truly believe we are at a time of constitutional crisis. At this point, it's country over party.
Republican voters against Trump. It says it right there on the at the end of that video. I will post that video on the blog at NicoleSandler.com today, along with today's show and the funny that I'm about to play, and actually the show on video as well. I put everything on there. So however you like to ingest the program, it's available in an easily shareable form. Anyway, pretty impressive stuff. This is a lifelong Republican who, this was her dream to work in the White House in a Republican administration. And she is so disgusted by, by Trump's flat out disregard for human life, because his, quote, main concern was the economy and his reelection, that she just had enough. The president's rhetoric and his own attacks against people in his administration trying to do the work, as well as the promulgation of false narratives and incorrect information of the virus, have made this ongoing response a failure, she said in an interview. So I have a feeling we'll be hearing a lot more of Olivia Troy in coming days. Donald Trump will say, never heard of her. Think she was the coffee girl, because that's what he does, because he's a piece of shit. But back to Bill Barr, because he's also complicit in this insanity. So as I was telling you before, last night he spoke at some college somewhere. And one of the many offensive things he said, actually, I should see if I can pull it up in my What's News notes, because by God, I've got so much stuff today. Bill Barr is facing mounting criticism for, among a myriad of other things, comparing calls for a nationwide lockdown to prevent the spread of the coronavirus to slavery. I'm not going to assault your eardrums with too much of Bill Barr's vomitatious utterances, but here's this.
Other than slavery, which was a different kind of restraint, this is the greatest intrusion on civil liberties in American history.
Amazing. But then he also launched into a tirade against the hundreds of Justice Department prosecutors working beneath him. Remember yesterday I talked a little bit about their weird obsession with the deep state, and people who have worked in government positions, civilian government positions, through multiple administrations and both parties. They're considered the deep state by these people because they put country over party, frankly. And so Barr launched into a tirade against hundreds of these career Justice Department prosecutors who certainly work under him. He's the attorney general. He heads up the Justice Department, so everybody works under him. But he equated them to preschoolers. Seriously, he said it's like, you know, if I'm expected to, you know, listen to my subordinates, it's like being in a Montessori school or some bullshit like that. Essentially saying the opinions of politically appointed Justice Department leaders are more important than those of career attorneys who have served through multiple presidencies. Every day. And I'm telling you, you know, I put together the What's News segment that runs throughout the day on the Progressive Voices Network, and it's a 6-minute newscast. And as far as, you know, radio newscasts go, that's a long one. And I'll tell you, for a lot of days, the original news production is a hell of a lot longer than 6 minutes. And that's what goes out as a podcast every day. If you subscribe to the Nicole Sandler Show podcast, you also get What's News at the same low price of nothing, zero, nada, because I don't put my show behind a paywall. I would love for you to donate because it's what pays my salary, but it's not, you can listen, you can share the show. I don't charge you a admission price. So if you can afford it and you enjoy the work that I do, I hope you'll, you know, contribute to the cause. But it's open to everybody. And that's why I encourage you to subscribe to get what's news each day, because instead of a 6-minute newscast, you're getting like a 10 or 12 minute because there's so much stuff going on. But it's impossible to, in an hour-long show, to cover everything that's happening. So each day, I'm editing myself and trying to figure out what I can get to and what I can't. So there's a lot we'll get to today. It's Thursday. Howie Klein will be along. We're going to pivot from primary season to general election season. And Blue America PAC put up a few ads this week. We'll get to some of them. I'll wait till Howie's here. But before we move on, I'd like to play something humorous to get, because if not for the funny, I feel like I'm just a bitching and moaning session here. And boy, I can bitch and moan with the best of them. But I do like to share the fun comedy bit du jour. So today, actually, I played this one, I think last week or a few days ago, but I played it while we were on a break, so Progressive Voices listeners didn't hear it. So I'm going to play it for you again today. It's the newest one from Founder Singh. And, you'll recognize the tune, I'm sure. So take it away, Founder Singh. It's the Nicole Sandler Show at NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network. Oh, voting for Trump is like asking me to drive, said Stevie Wonder.
From all the havoc he wreaks, now our choice is clear. Love is the only way to fight the lies with the truth. Here's what we gotta do. Let's all come together. When things get so crazy, our power grows. Standing on the right side as we all unite, each one rising up to do our part today. But more, if you love this country, come forward.
Ah, ha, ha. All right. Founder Singh parodying Stevie Wonder, If You Really Love Me, but obviously putting their Founder Singh twist on it. So I told you we've got Howie Klein coming up. And I'm going to wait till he's here to play this new spot that Blue America PAC is running for some of the candidates they've endorsed. But they also, Blue America, posted a song that I actually probably should wait so everyone can hear it because we're in a break on Progressive Voices. I'll tell you what, while we're waiting for them to come back, let me share with you a new, where did I put it? Oh man, did I not, I thought I brought it over here. All right, well, here's one, I think, from the Lincoln Pro. I thought I got a new one from Midas Touch, but I guess I didn't bring it into my my little production area. So I'll play you this one, and it is, I'm so bad. I think it's from the Lincoln Project. We'll find out, won't we? Here we go.
Donald the Con got con. All those unexpected expenses and items that went over budget. You really don't get what they did, do you, Donald? The beach houses, the fancy cars. It starts with a little falling off the truck and then more falls off, and pretty soon that $800 million you raised did nothing but make a lot of people rich and put you in a big hole. What can you do? Call your own campaign crooks? You hired him. You were that idiot Jared Kushner. You really don't think he's in on the con, Donald? Nobody has ever spent almost $1 billion to go down 10 points. You really have to work at that. But when you hire nothing but the best, they can get it done. Donald Trump. Today, he's just a sucker who got played. On November 3rd, he'll be the biggest loser, sucker in American history. Don the con got con. The Lincoln Project is responsible for the content of this advertising.
It is, and here's the new one from Midas Touch.
These face masks are the most important, powerful public health tool we have. I might even go so far as to say that this face mask is more guaranteed to protect me against COVID than when I take a COVID vaccine.
There are a lot of people think the masks are not good.
But who are those people?
Well, I'll tell you who those people are. Waiters.
If you're asking me when is it going to be generally available to the American public, I think we're probably looking at late second quarter, third quarter, 2021.
No, he's that's incorrect information.
I think so.
But I don't think he means that. I don't think he, when he said it, I believe he was confused. I'm just telling you, we're ready to go as soon as the vaccine happens. I saw the statement. I called him. I said, what did you mean by that? And I think he just made a mistake. I think he misunderstood the question, probably.
Minutes of conversation between Nicole Sandler and Bernie Sanders from September 2014.
That's the wrong thing. This is what I meant to play. Oh, it's terrible when I don't double check what I'm about to play before I play it. I don't even know where that is, so we'll just do this. Oh, here it is.
This is a huge, huge issue.
And we're talking about it. The Nicole Sandler Show on NicoleSandler.com.
Sorry about that bit of sloppy work there. All right, we're a few minutes away from Howie, so I guess we can get to a little bit of news before we bring Howie in, shall we? Boy, I'm just sucking out loud today. This is what you call tight radio. All right, so let's see. You heard in that the video I just played, the Midas Touch video, it was a little bit of testimony from yesterday of Dr. Robert Redfield, who is the director of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. He testified before a Senate subcommittee and said that face coverings are the most powerful public health tool that the United States has to fight the coronavirus pandemic.
I'm not going to comment directly about the president, but I am going to comment as the CDC director that face masks are the most important, powerful public health tool we have. And I will continue to appeal for all Americans, all individuals in our country, to embrace these face coverings. I've said it, if we did it for 6, 8, 10, 12 weeks, we'd bring this pandemic under control. These actually, we have clear scientific evidence, they work, and they are our best defense. I might even go so far as to say that this face mask is more guaranteed to protect me against COVID than when I take a COVID vaccine, because the immunogenicity may be...
The what?
70%.
Oh, okay.
And if I don't get an immune response, the vaccine's not going to protect me.
This the immune response. I get it.
So I do want to keep asking the American public to take the responsibility, particularly the 18 to 25-year-olds, where we're seeing the outbreak in America continue to go like this, because we haven't got the acceptance, the personal responsibility that we need for all Americans to embrace this face mask.
Making sense there. He also... was asked about a time frame for a potential vaccine.
I think there will be vaccine that initially be available sometime between November and December, but very limited supply and will have to be prioritized. If you're asking me when is it going to be generally available to the American public so we can begin to take advantage of vaccine to get back to our regular life, I think we're probably looking at late second quarter, third quarter. 2021.
That's not what Donald Trump said. And at his commandeered television time Trump dump yesterday afternoon, he was asked about the disconnect between what the director of the CDC said and what he's telling people.
The core of Vice President Biden's argument is that you don't trust the scientists, you don't listen to them. And here up on the podium today, you're twice contradicting the director of your own CDC
science,
who testified before Congress today.
No, he's contradicting himself. I think he misunderstood the question.
Well, he was testifying.
You know what I think? I think he misunderstood. I told you, I don't have to go through this. I think he misunderstood the questions. But I'm telling you, here's the bottom line. Distribution is going to be very rapid. He may not know that. Maybe he's not aware of that. And maybe he's not dealing with the military, et cetera, like I do.
What?
Distribution is going to be very rapid.
Okay. And then he went on to say he's confused. He's made a mistake. If he were a Democrat, he'd say fake news. Fake news. He's lying. But he said he was mistaken. Yeah, we'll see. In other news, this morning at 9 a.m., the House Homeland Security Committee convened for its annual worldwide threat hearing. Acting Department of Homeland Security Secretary Chad Wolf was subpoenaed to appear, but he defied that subpoena, as do others in the Trump administration. He decided, Congress can't subpoena me. I'm just not going to show up. Again, I implore them, use inherent contempt. Send the goddamn Sergeant-at-Arms or whoever the hell it is out to arrest this man. Defying a congressional subpoena is illegal. But he didn't. So there was an empty chair there sitting where he should be with his name on the paper nameplate there. FBI Director Christopher Wray and the director of the National Terrorism Center, Christopher Miller, were there to testify. And Christopher Wray made it very clear that the Russians are still doing the same shit as they did in 2016, that they are interfering in our election, this time working against Joe Biden.
We certainly have seen very active efforts by the Russians to influence our election in 2020 through what I would call more the malign foreign influence side of things. Social media, use of proxies, state media, online journals, et cetera, an effort to both sow divisiveness and discord. And I think the intelligence community has assessed this publicly, to denigrate Vice President Biden and what the Russians see as kind of an anti-Russian establishment. That's essentially what we're seeing in 2020.
Uh-huh. And the chairman of the committee, Benny Thompson, questioned Chris Wray about all this.
When we hear officials say...
I got to set this one up because I remember what this question is about. Sorry, this one is about the FBI has already said that the greatest threat in terms of domestic terrorism comes from the right-wing white nationalists and people like that, but from the president and his ilk, we hear Antifa. So that's what Benny Thompson was trying to get at here.
When we hear officials say Antifa is the biggest threat on the left, are they being correct?
Well, we don't really think of threats in terms of left and right at
you
the
don't.
FBI. We're focused on the violence, not the ideology.
Interesting.
Our domestic violent extremists include everything from racially motivated violent extremists, which we've talked about here in this committee before, I think when I testified last year, for example, all the way to anti-government, anti-authority violent extremists. And that includes people ranging from anarchist violent extremists, people who subscribe to Antifa or other ideologies, as well as militia types and those kinds of.
Right. Well, I think what I'm trying to reflect on is we hear from time to time that this organization by name, we need to investigate. The secretary, designee, if he was here, he would get asked this question, but he's not. He asked for an investigation of Antifa because they were the greatest threat
Hello.
To the homeland.
Yeah.
And if I'm hearing you correctly, you're saying that it's really not organization
That's
so
what
much
he's saying.
As it is ideology. And I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I think that's what I heard.
I appreciate that. We look at Antifa as more of an ideology or a movement.
Because that's what it
than
is.
An organization.
It's not an organization.
To be clear, we do have quite a number of properly predicated domestic terrorism investigations into violent anarchist extremists, any number of whom self-identify with the Antifa movement. And that's part of this broader group of domestic violent extremists that I'm talking about. But it's just one part of it. We also have the racially motivated violent extremists.
Yes.
The militia types.
Yes.
And others.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. I think Christopher Wray needs to talk to the president. You know, there's something kind of amiss here. All right. You know what time it is, right? Somebody start mixing up those Dirty Debbies.
Are you a multinational corporation hungry for a treat? Well, come on down to Schmucky Chucky's, where you'll personally be seated by Chuck Schumer himself.
So many dishes, and they're all fresh.
You're gonna love our Blue Dog special, the Dino Burger, because we say so.
A good hamburger and french fries.
And every burger comes with a side order of...
grits. I love grits. I love anything with corn. It's corn.
All for only $50,000. Wash it all down with a Dirty Debbie.
9/10 water, 1/10 orange juice. After a week or two, you drink this, it's 200 calories and it's acetic.
And wipe your mouth with a tissue print of Glass-Steagall. For dessert, try our DNC tarts.
Little cookies, tell the quality of that.
Most restaurants give you a mint, but at Schmucky Chucky's, you get complimentary.
Sweet and low.
Who picks up the tab for all this? Find out now with Howie Klein of DownWithTyranny.com on The Nicole Sandler Show.
Ah, all right. Hi, Howie Klein.
Hey, Nicole Sandler.
How are you?
I'm great. Now, I'm just reading about Florida right now.
Oh,
God. As a matter of fact.
What about Florida? I hesitate to ask because I can imagine what it's going to be.
Right. Well, we've talked about this before, actually, but what I'm reading is Joan Walsh's new piece in The Nation,
okay.
which came out this afternoon, and it's fantastic. And it really eviscerates the idiots who run the Florida Democratic Party. And it's just really, really good. She did a great job.
Oh, good. I'll have to check that out. And I do agree that the people who run the Florida Democratic Party are idiots. They have no clue. They do everything wrong.
Yep. And Joan very elegantly exposes that.
Oh, good. Well, good. I will check that out as soon as we're done. So, Howie Klein, this week I'm going about my business as usual, and I notice, you know, I'm always looking for fun, like parody videos or comedy bits to play on the show because I like to inject a little bit of humor into the otherwise horrific stuff that we're talking about the rest of the time. But I came across a few things uploaded by Blue America, and the first was actually a song, by Gary Nicholson. cussing Trump? What is this? Do you know?
Yes, yes. Well, of course
you do.
Yeah, first, Gary Nicholson is a really famous songwriter, and he's a performer as well. But he's mostly known as a songwriter. He's won 2 Grammys. He writes songs for people like, on the one hand, Willie Nelson and Waylon Jennings and Garth
Brooks. Yeah.
But on the other hand, Fleetwood Mac.
Really?
I mean, this is a major big-time songwriter. And he wrote this song and sent it to me. And said we could use it any way we want. Now, you haven't seen how we're using it yet. You just saw the actual song on there.
I have the video.
We are, with his blessing, we're turning it into an ad for one of our candidates.
Ah, okay. So because you have this up, and it's like a 2.5-minute video set to...
Yeah, that's his actual... I mean, we just threw the pictures on there.
Gotcha.
The pictures are in his video. So he didn't. There is no video for this particular song, but there's going to be.
We're making one,
and we're going to be running it. And just the way we've run we're running ads right now based on another song.
Okay, well, let's talk about that one because I've got both the first song and I've got the ad that you have out for Mike Siegel, who's running in Texas's 10th district. And so you have this ad out. You want to set it up and who, because it's not the same artist. This is somebody else, right?
We're doing three different songs, and we're making 3 different songs into a bunch of ads for a whole bunch of candidates. So right now, this Mike Siegel one is someone who, a singer-songwriter who's always been one of my favorites for many, many years, Matthew Grimm. Matthew Grimm is a really wonderful singer-songwriter. And he did this song and sent it to me. And I just thought, wow, it's not like a jingle as you're about to hear.
Right.
It's a thoughtful kind of song, and you need to listen to it a few times. But it kind of reminded me in a lot of ways of the kind of campaign that Mike is running. And Mike doesn't know anything about this, by the way. This is an independent expenditure, so I can't even tell Mike that we're doing this.
Oh,
and he doesn't know. I mean, unless he saw it himself, which I doubt. He's busy, trying to run his campaign, so I doubt he has seen it. Maybe someone from his campaign has seen it. But so it's running on, it's like a pre-roll on YouTube. So if you go to get a YouTube and you're in his district, so that's why it's interesting that you saw it. Because unless you go to, you probably saw it.
I went to the Blue America, the Blue America YouTube account. That's how I saw them.
Right. So if you go to the Blue America YouTube account, anyone can see it.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, the only way to see it is if you live in the 10th District, which goes from the northern part of Austin and the Austin suburbs around in the northern part, in Travis County, all the way across to the western exurbs, really, like Cypress, of Houston. So it's a very large and weird gerrymandered district. On the one hand, you've got one of the coolest, hippest places in the country in Austin. And on the other hand, you've got, some real hard-pressed ranchers and farmers in the middle. And then you've got this, gigantic evangelical community in the Harris County part of the district near Houston. So it's, it's quite a weird district. It was drawn by Tom DeLay with the purpose of, he had 2 purposes. One, of course, was to always elect Republicans there, which has always happened since he drew the district. And the other was to take a significant number of Democrats in Austin, in Travis County, out of the picture. So in other words, if they would have been with more Travis County Democrats, they would have had their own congressional seat. But instead, he cut up Austin in like a pie, and in most of those slices of the pie, there's no, there's not enough Democrats,
right,
to have a congressional district. So it's really, it's a really insidious way of doing it. But
is that your phone?
Hey, that was phone delay. It is. It's my other phone. I don't have to answer it. Don't worry.
Okay.
But kind of like, I know it's noisy.
I'm trying to figure out what the ringtone is. That's all.
It'll stop quickly. In any case, Mike Siegel is one of the candidates that Blue America has endorsed, and we're backing him. And he's very, very, very. We feel he's very close to winning. He almost won last time against one of the richest men in Congress. I think he's the richest man in the House right now, and he married into the iHeart radio chain.
Oh God!
So his father-in-law is the chief executive of that, or the founder of it, or something. And McCall, you know, he's rich because he married well.
Gotcha.
Not rich because, you know, a great thinker and discovered, you know, a cure for cancer or something like that.
Right.
So he's a, you know, an arch conservative, extremely reactionary, total Trumpist, never deviates from Trump. And, you know, Mike held him to 51% last time, and he should be able to beat him this time. And last time, the DCCC was going around and telling people not to help Mike.
Unbelievable.
And, you know, in other words, when unions wanted to back him, they said, no, don't do it. It's a waste. When institutional donors wanted to give Mike money, the DCCC was always there to tell them, don't do it. You know, we need that money in other places. You're wasting it. Don't do it. And Mike did so well. And if the DCCC hadn't interfered, I'm not even saying if they would have backed him. If they just hadn't interfered, he would have won. That's how horrible they are.
Wow.
And, you know, he's very, very progressive. And, you know, their point is you can't have a progressive in a 50-50 district like this, if it's even 50-50. I mean, they say it's a red-leaning district. They don't want progressives running in those districts. So this time, you know, there's some thought that the DCCC is going to support him, and there's a lot of optimism about that, except for me. I don't feel that kind of optimism.
Right,
the DCCC is run by Cherry Bustos, a blue dog. That woman is never going to back any progressive unless she's absolutely forced to. She would rather see a Republican win than see a progressive win. She is a witch. She is the worst of the worst. And Cherry Bustos, I don't care what anybody tells me, Cherry Bustos is never going to back someone as progressive as Mike Siegel. So Blue America is doing what we can. You know, I mean, you know, they would put $3 million into advertising. We can't do that, but we're trying to get the word out.
Okay, so you, as you mentioned earlier, produced this spot. You did it for Mike Siegel here in Texas. You did it for a couple of the other Blue America endorsed candidates. And as you also mentioned, because you are a PAC, you cannot coordinate with the candidate. So you produce this spot, but you can't tell Mike Siegel about it. You can't tell him where it's running or that it even exists because you cannot communicate with him. You follow the rules at Blue America. Do all PACs follow the rules?
No, of course not. I don't think any do.
Yeah.
I mean, certainly the DCCC and the NRCC, they coordinate every single move they make with super PACs so that they don't step on each other's toes. So they deny it, of course. They always say, oh, no, we would never.
Wow.
You know, but they will do. Absolutely, 100%, without question. We don't. I don't like the rule necessarily,
right. But
I feel it's the rule.
Right.
And, you know, I don't want to jeopardize myself and my partners, and I don't want to jeopardize Mike and his campaign. So we are following the rule.
Okay, so here is the spot. On the screen, for those who are just listening to the audio feed only, it says, independent-minded fighter for working families, Mike Siegel, for U.S. House of Representatives, Texas, Texas 10th, your vote counts, Election Day, November 3rd, 2020. And here is the spot.
King of the world wears a cap for a crown. He says rapists and criminals are living in your town. You might have known them for years. They might live right down the street. But now you'd herd them out of boxcars if your messiah so decreed. He vows to build a wall and paint the country red. He rips children from their mothers while they're sleeping in their beds. There's malice in his heart. There's blood on his hands. We don't need a monument to that kind of man. We
McCall. Very bad, would not recommend, with one star. That is very visual, Howie Klein. So, you know, I will post that ad along with the show, today's podcast, at NicoleSandler.com, so people can watch it, because you need to see the visuals.
And Matt Grimm, the guy who wrote it and sings it, he was nice enough to also make the ad for us.
Oh, I mean, wow.
We gave him some of the elements, but he made the ad. So almost all of those pictures are ones that he found and put into it. So and he edited it. You know, it's a full song.
I mean, right.
It's a beautiful, wonderful song, and he edited it down to 1 minute. So and a lot of times artists hate doing that.
Right,
and can't
right.
do it.
Yeah.
In fact, in the case of Gary Nicholson, when I told him I want to do that with his song, he was horrified. And he said, go ahead and do it. Don't ask me. Just do it yourself.
Just do it. Well, should we play the song? Because we've talked about it, and I've got it here, and it's really good.
Oh, Gary's song. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And there's another one I think that you may have there, too. But definitely play Gary's song. I think it's fantastic.
Okay, let's do this one.
It's, I'm trying to remember who we're doing it for, but when I hear it, I'll remember.
Okay. All right. So this is, again, his name is
Gary Nicholson.
Sorry. And this is Cussin' Trump. Take it away, Gary. Cussin' Trump. Here we go.
My baby done left me because I wouldn't quit cussin' Trump. She's packed up and gone, cause I wouldn't quit cussing Trump. I'd come home from work all tired and hot. She'd be watching a rally, tuned into Fox. I knew we were over and done. I just couldn't quit cussing Trump. Every day he does something new. Another good reason for me to cut loose. Every time the orange one opens his mouth, baby, she left me cause I couldn't quit cussing Trump. Even if I was Republican, I wasn't gonna be no chump. Said he was gonna make America great. He just stares at his base and spreads more hate. He's evil and he's just plain dumb. I just can't quit cussing Trump. Trump. Oh, she packed up and left me cause I wouldn't quit cussing Trump. Ain't no end to the damage he's done. I just can't quit cussing Trump. Ain't no end to the damage he's done. I can't quit cussing Trump.
That's awesome. Can't quit cussing Trump. I get it. I don't normally speak the country vernacular, but I got that.
Yeah. Well, one of his friends from Arkansas, Beyonce, who was a Republican, and this guy the guy wasn't really that political, but he's just been so outraged by all the stuff that Trump is doing that he's really been cussing Trump. And she was going nuts. She couldn't stand it. And, you know, she's from a Christian conservative, extreme right-wing family in Arkansas. And she told him, if you don't stop, we are going to break up.
Oh, my.
And I think he realized, I don't know this part, I'm just surmising, I think he realized that he was lucky that he discovered it before they got married.
Wow. I guess so, right? Because if I couldn't curse, that would be really, really difficult. Good stuff. So did you figure out what candidate you're using that song?
We're using in Austin as well. Ah. So Austin is divided up into, I think, five different congressional districts, going back to that Tom DeLay gerrymandering thing.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them is another candidate that we're helping, named Julie Oliver. And Julie has another strange gerrymandered district, which takes in part of Weston Austin. It shares a border with Mike's district. This is Texas 25, and it goes all the way up into the suburbs of Fort Worth, into Tarrant County. So it's, again, very strange, weird district that makes no sense at all. She ran last time as well, and she, you know, did a lot better than anyone would have thought, and she hopes to close the deal this time against another Texas multimillionaire, this guy, a used car salesman, a real crook named Roger Williams.
Hmm.
And, we didn't want to run the same, you know, the same song on two ads in Austin, because, you know, you run it and everybody hears both of them and they get confused. So we have that one song by Matt Grimm for Mike Siegel, and the other song by Gary Nicholson,
mm-hmm,
for Julie Oliver.
Cool.
And that isn't ready yet. That should be ready probably by the weekend.
All right. Well, I look forward to seeing the finished ad. The song is great. So Howie Klein is with us. So I go on downwithtyranny.com, and I see you put up a post just an hour or so ago, 2 hours ago, with the Trump tweet yesterday, a white flag. And the post is great, and I encourage everyone to read it because it's always good fodder for thought. But the picture that you have posted there is a book called Between the Tweets, and it says editorial cartoons by Nancy Ohanian, and she's the person who does the amazing artwork that you use all the time at downwithtyranny.com. Is this a real book she has out?
Let me just tell you about this book.
Okay, please.
First of all, for people who don't know, Nancy Ohanian was the editorial cartoonist at the New York Times, then at the L.A. Times, and this year she won an award from the American Journalists Association as the best editorial cartoonist in the whole country.
Oh, wow.
She's the first woman to ever win that. And she's amazing. She's absolutely amazing and generous beyond belief. She does a lot of the artwork for Down with Tyranny, mm-hmm, and she's always giving us stuff to give away as prizes, which we do often. We've raised thousands and thousands of dollars for various Blue America candidates with her work. In fact, she and Ted Lieu have become somewhat close, because she's done some great work. She did a caricature of Ted. It's funny because a lot of a lot of politicians don't understand what a caricature is, and you know they want a portrait that makes them look really great. And she does a caricature. It's not the same as a portrait,
right? No.
And Ted got it and loved it, and loved it so much that he has a giant version of it on aluminum hanging in his office in Washington.
Oh, wow.
But most of the candidates who we've shown these things to were mortified. They just like, why did she do a picture of me that looks so bad? But anyway, I'm off the topic. So she did this book, which is just either has just come out or is just about to come out, and it's so gorgeous and so like amazingly like precious that no one is allowed to touch the book without gloves. And she sent me a copy. I mean, I don't want anybody getting a fingerprint on it or any kind of dirt on it. It's just a work of art. It's an incredible work of art. And we are going to give away a couple of autographed copies of the book.
Nice.
Yeah. So the one that you see, the picture that you see, is a pretty iconic picture of Trump.
Uh-huh.
I hate talking about something like this on the radio when people can't look at it. But it's a picture of Trump sitting on a toilet.
Yeah, you know what?
Hold on.
Yes, and in fact, you had sent me a while ago a couple of decks of playing cards that Nancy Ohanian drew, and in fact, that picture is on one. I've got a deck here in my hands. Here's the picture, so I can hold it up to the camera so people can actually see it. There, it's Trump sitting on a toilet, with his pants down around his knees, tweeting. And it is just perfect. So, you sent me two of these, one for me and one to give away. I've got this one to give away. So, for anybody who's interested, I'll tell you what, the first person who emails me at Nicole@NicoleSandler.com and says, I want those cards, and gives me your mailing address, I will send them to. And these are autographed as well. This is great. And so she sells these as well, right? I think maybe I need to get her on the show when the book comes out.
That would be great. That would be great. I think she's very shy, but I can ask her.
Okay.
She's a wonderful person. I've had dinner with her, and she's come to my house, and I've gotten to know her over the years, and she's just an amazing person. She teaches at a university just outside of Philadelphia.
Nice. Okay. Well, I love that, you know, I found out about her because I asked you about some of the artwork that you incorporated into your post at downwithtyranny.com because they're so great. And that's when you introduced me, figuratively anyway, to Nancy Ohanian, and her work is brilliant. So when I saw that book as the image for this post, I'm first looking everywhere. Is that a real book or what? And I guess it is.
It is.
Very cool.
So I'll tell you, I was going to tell you, and then it went bye-bye.
Oh, I hate when that happens.
She's an amazing artist. She's great. I love to use her stuff. Very often when I'm writing something that's, you know, of the day, I will just go and see, I wonder if Nancy has anything interesting up that's new, since I check her site every single day. Mm-hmm. And there I am halfway through a post, and I go to her site, and boom, there it is. There's exactly the right picture for what I'm writing.
That's great. And I noticed under her clients on her website, she's got downwithtyranny.com listed there. So you're in good company. So we've eaten up most of our time together today talking about, well, the spots you're putting out, because now we're actually transitioning where I think primaries are over. Delaware was just the other day. Was that the last one? Are we now completely in general election mode? So things change. So now we focus on, we have the candidates. They're not always the ones we want. I noticed in that post, I think it was in that post, it might have been in a different one you wrote, something that really caught my attention. And it was a yellow box. And it says, not him, us. We wanted a political revolution. What should revolutionaries do now? We've got our own reasons to vote for Biden, and Joe ain't one. And it takes you to a website that is NotHimUs.org, which is obviously a play on Bernie's Not Me Us, but this is another you vote Trump out action.
Yeah, that's right. These people believe they just have to get rid of Trump, and then they will be able to work with Biden to get some stuff done, and he won't be the kind of existential threat to humanity that Trump is. So, you know, I it's not the way I feel personally, but I understand it 100%, and I don't have any bones to pick about it. I would never argue with somebody who has that, and I use it. You know, I think it's a legitimate way of analyzing the election. It's not my way, but it's something I respect.
I think so, too, and you also make a good point about vote shaming and how it's not a good look for us to vote shame, and I know I'm guilty of it at times. I don't do it with you. I know it's a lost cause, but, you know, there are some people who talk out of both sides of their mouth, and but people have to make their own decision. And obviously, if you're not going to vote for Joe Biden, I hope you're in a state that is going to unabashedly go for him, and that you're going to vote for down ballot Democrats, because it's that serious right now. This man is just it's beyond words of how insane he is. And it gets worse each day.
It does.
I know.
It's amazing that his daughter and son-in-law haven't stepped in and said, you know, please, just for the duration of the campaign, let's take that little Twitter machine away from you.
Yeah, I don't know. I think they're with him now. You know, at the beginning, people thought, oh, they're sort of the New York Democrats, and then they'll keep him in check. They're worse than he is. They think they're going to step into his role once he's gone. It's just a delusional world.
The thing is, they want him to win, and I think they probably realize it's not helping his cause to be carrying on the way he carries on.
Yeah.
I mean, it may, it, you know, his base may love it, but that's barely 40% of the voters.
That is.
So, you know, every time he tweets, every time he gets, you watch that thing on ABC with George Stephanopoulos.
Oh my God!
Day?
Well, I watched it the next day. I watched highlights.
It was like an infomercial for Joe Biden.
Yeah. Well, and Joe Biden does it tonight on CNN, so that will be interesting. I'll watch that, and just hope that he makes it through without, you know, totally sticking his foot in his mouth, because he's known to do that.
Yes, he is.
Yeah. So anyway, Howie Klein, always a pleasure. Find Howie at downwithtyranny.com. And of course, kick in to support progressive candidates if you can through Blue America PAC. I will put a link to them as well on the blog today. And you can split it between all the Blue America endorsed candidates. You can pick and choose which ones you want to help out. There's lots of different ways you can split up whatever you care to donate to help get more progressives into Congress and other office nationally. So, Howie, keep up the great work. We got less than 7 weeks to go.
Exciting. See you next week.
Okay, will do. Take care, Howie. Bye-bye.
Fine.
And you, I'll see you tomorrow. Don't forget, as I mentioned at the top of the show, Lisa Graves is here tomorrow. We got a lot to talk about, from Bill Barr to Louis DeJoy to everything else that's making our heads collectively explode. All right. Thanks for listening, everyone. I'm already late. We've long past lost the progressive voices, people. Such is life. All right. Thank you for listening. I'll see you tomorrow. Take care. Stay safe. Bye.